It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. My name is Blue. Alongside of me are the world famous Pot Brothers at Law and Mr. Joe Grande.
Hello, my brother.
And we are now tuned in to the greatest cannabis show on the planet.
The universe.
I say the galaxy.
I say we get right into it.
Let's go.
And let's finish with Mark. Let's start with Mark, actually. Mark, you're on your way to the hospital, but you wanted to tell us a story and update us on a case that you've been working on, that you came in here so frantically one day screaming about a gentleman that was about to lose his children because the mother-in-law ratted him out saying he smokes cannabis.
Yes, and he uses medicinal cannabis. And this case happened up in Porterville, California, I believe. And he actually, the judge ordered his son be taken away because he uses medicinal cannabis. And I told him we were going to try to find him an attorney to help fight up in that area. So just yesterday, I got a call from Melissa Fox. And you might remember her. She's a city councilwoman for the city of Irvine who... me and my brother a few years back campaigned for and helped get her elected. She called us up. She's running for state assembly and was looking for some help. In fact, we're going to interview her. But she started telling me about her friend, this woman, Lauren Johnson, who's an attorney that she's working with on a lot of things, who just had a case that was on appeal in California. She won, and it was the first case on appeal to overturn that. A person cannot have their parental rights taken away just because they use medical cannabis.
That's awesome.
So I referred this guy to her, and now they're going to be fighting.
And what do you know when they're going to be talking? Are you done with this case at all, or what's the latest?
I'll be following up. They're going to keep me following up. He talked to her, I think, yesterday. And as soon as I get more information, I will keep everybody informed, and we'll follow up.
Well, keep us posted, and you're going to the hospital. Make sure you give Pac a big hug from all of us, as I know you're going to go see a good friend of ours, and you happen to be his attorney.
Our prayers are with you, him, and his family. I mean, everybody, especially, you know, the severity of what's going on with Pac, and, you know, we want to
You know, Pac's so strong, though. I don't know who's worse right now. Maybe, Craig, you could help me out with this. Is Pac worse, or is Mark worse for dealing with this? Because your brother's been on edge so much. At least Pac still has his personality. He's lifting up his, you know, garment. He's having fun. Your brother hasn't had fun ever since this accident's happened. He's been a mess.
How are you guys communicating, Mark? I mean,
I'm going to do what I got to do. So I'll check.
All right, let us know how it goes. Check with us later.
Send our love, please.
Goodbye.
Give him a pinch from us.
All right. So
Blue, what do we got going on?
Yeah, who's making waves, brother?
So if you're looking to find out who's making waves in the world of cannabis, Cannabis Talk 101 is the place to be.
Yes, it is.
So we have an amazing guest for you guys today. His name's Weldon Angeles, right?
Weldon?
Correct.
Welcome to the show, Weldon. How are you today?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
No doubt, man. So Weldon has the Weldon Project. It's to help people that are currently incarcerated, right? And can you share that with us a little bit?
Yeah, so when I got obviously I did time in prison for cannabis myself, served 13 years on a 55-year sentence for $900 worth of cannabis.
Shut your mouth.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, when I got out, you know, because of President Obama's clemency program, and I had a lot of people pulling for me, like Cory Booker, Senator Mike Lee, the Koch brothers even were pushing for me. And I got out, and I hit the ground running. I started working with the White House and numerous senators and celebrities, and we got the first criminal justice reform passed since 1970 in the federal system. However, it didn't affect anyone in prison for cannabis cases. So after we passed out, you know, we were celebrating in the White House. I thought of my friends who were in prison for operating a medical dispensary in California who got 22 years. And so I launched the Weldon Project. And our initiative is Mission Green. And Mission Green is dedicated solely to the freedom of people in prison for cannabis.
Wow. Congratulations.
Dude, I've seen your story. You've been on like several news, like you've been on national news stuff as well, right? I've heard this story before. Yeah, I hear what you're doing and doing. How do you figure out who you're going to help as far as, is it only cannabis or if it's cannabis and they had methamphetamines and a gun? Yeah. How do you narrow that down?
Well, so right now we're focused on purely cannabis cases because we feel like they're the low-hanging fruit. And especially with this president, it's not as easy getting clemency as it was under Obama. And so we're trying to narrow it down to like the easiest group of people. Like we got a guy named Luke who was just operating a medical dispensary in Modesto. 2008, he was indicted following state law. He didn't commit any other crimes. He got 22 years. And so we're looking for people that fit this criteria, and we're taking them to the president. I have a relationship with the White House, and we're asking for clemency for this category. And we believe this will send a message to Congress that they need broader reform to affect other people who may not have such compelling cases.
Now, do you find that you know, you're getting – I mean – I guess you can't move the ball fast enough, right? I mean, but is it such a slow process, or is this a process that's – have you guys been successful yet, you know, with obviously getting people like yourself out? I mean
– Yeah, I mean we got the guy I mentioned, his name's Luke Scarmazzo. We were able to get his co-defendant out, Ricardo Montes. They had the same case, and I filed their clemency petitions to the president. One was granted, one was denied. And so it's that random selection, you know, that we're trying to change. Because, you know, right now the people who are deciding these cases are the prosecutors. And so this president, you know, despite what people may think of him, he created a clemency committee that takes the discretion from the Department of Justice, who's the one that put us there in the first place, and putting it in a group of 13 individuals who are some formerly incarcerated and people who are in politics and different areas, and they are bypassing the DOJ and deciding these cases directly. And so I believe things will start speeding up now.
I love hearing that about Donald Trump, to tell you the truth. And I'm not a fan. I'm not going to front and act like I am. But I love hearing you share a good story, because I want to hear more good stories about this dude.
Well, why,
I'm happy to hear that.
Why did the committee, did they make any decision or say why they let one guy off? Same exact facts.
Well,
they don't let the other?
That was before the committee. That was the DOJ.
Gotcha.
Right now, the people that put you in prison have the decision whether or not you get clemency. Because the presidents, they haven't traditionally granted clemency unless the prosecutor stamped it. Right now, Trump took that away from them and created an independent committee that will look at these petitions, vote on them, and send them up to the White House counsel for approval.
How many of you presented under that format yet, if any?
I mean, they've passed already 30, and we're just waiting on those to come down. Well, just in February, I went to the White House and hand-delivered a letter to the president asking him to start commuting these individual cases like Luke's. And right after that, a female who was serving 20 years for cannabis, she had served 15 years, and she was released. But then COVID hit us, and so I believe that kind of slowed it down. But I do believe that we will see more cases coming. And we're also working in the courts, too. You know, we passed some legislation that allowed judges to give these cases a second look, and we're using Luke's as a test case for that.
We're talking to Weldon from the Weldon Project, and he's making waves with Blue, and this guy's amazing what he's doing. Weldon, are you a lawyer by any chance, as you served your, 13 years in prison? Did you get your degree in prison?
No, I got a lot of people out of jail, though, and so, you know, I just stayed. I had 55 years, so I didn't know if I was ever getting out, so I buried myself in law books, and, you know, and I got a lot of people out. I couldn't get myself out, but I was able to create a coalition that eventually resulted in my release.
Where are you located?
Not a lawyer, but I'm good.
Where are you located at? What area?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
That's beautiful what you're doing, and I'm just wondering, I got these two lawyers that I do a show with called Cannabis Talk 101. I'm wondering if you could teach them how to get people out of prison, because they're real lawyers and can't do shit for people.
Yeah, I definitely can.
I'm not sure who he's talking to.
We've got some strategies.
I will not be disrespected.
I'm not talking about you.
Let's ask this. Well, then, why do you think the president, you know, created that policy, you know, or allowed that policy to pass? What do you think his thought process was behind that?
Are you talking about the committee or the First Step Act, the legislation?
The committee.
The committee, well, you know, he's not a typical politician, and typical politicians look at things like, will this affect my reelection? Will this affect my legacy? Given that he's not a typical politician, he doesn't care. He doesn't factor those into his decision making. You know, he's a people pleaser. And so a lot of people have taken this to his attention and shown how unjust the system is. Like Alice Marie Johnson, who Kim Kardashian successfully lobbied the president to let out. The pardon office denied her petition like four times, twice under Obama, once under Bush, and once under Trump. And so, you know, that was evidence alone that this old grandmother who was in there for a nonviolent drug offense should have been out years ago. And she had a life sentence. So he looked at it like, okay, this system is messed up. Let's form our own committee and let's look at these ourselves. And I think it's a good thing. Even if we let out some of his his homeboys or some of his affiliates. If we get out a lot of other people, it's worth it to me.
Now, I'll tell you, I agree. You know what? If it works and gets people out, 100%. But I disagree on his motives. His motives, I think, are everybody has denied this lady. Kim Kardashian's come to me. This is going to look so good for
Look
re-election.
What I did for
now,
her.
Now, if that results... If that results...
He's getting in this Donald Trump. It's going to look so good.
If that results in people getting out, then I really don't care what his motive is.
Right.
I don't really care. I think it's great. And if that's what it takes for him at this point in time, at the place he is, for him to
it's
do that...
It's every politician, though, Craig. I mean, I don't care if Obama was there, too. Obama would have been the same thing.
No, Obama didn't let her go, either.
But my point is, everyone has that.
I'm going to do it. Kim didn't bring him to the table, though. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Had Kim Kardashian walked up you with never all know. That booty, I'm sure
and then boo-boo's coming at you.
Oh, I just grab her by the Kardashians, man. They're doing a great job. So Weldon, you know, starting the Weldon Project, obviously, I would imagine, you know, in your doing 50 years, you know, 13 years, you got a lot of time to think, right? So in that 13 years period of time, did you create it inside the tank, or did you come out of it creating it? I mean, where was it birthed? And then, you know, who's involved with you in it now? Are you solo? How's that working out?
Yeah, no, actually, I created it when I got out of jail. You know, I didn't know I would be getting out when I did, and it was sort of sudden. And so when I got out, you know, I started producing the documentary. You know, that was the first thing we did just to kind of raise awareness. And then when I ended up at the White House and meeting with doing panels with Cory Booker and Mike Lee and the Koch brothers, I felt like I should use my influence and my connections to affect change. And so, you know, one of my former partners in the music industry, Big Hollis, worked with me to create this nonprofit. And we have other people involved in this, including celebrities and athletes and political figures. And, you know, we're trying to take this to the next level. And for instance, recently we just welcomed Stormy Simon, the former CEO of High Times, to the team. And so, you know, we're really excited and we're growing. Huh. And especially right now with everything that's coming out, like, we really need to push this. And we're trying to get the industry behind us because we could do a lot with the connections that we have.
You know, we like Stormy Simons.
Great.
We just had her on the show recently. So that's a, you know, great move for you guys as well. She's also going to be running for... something is
office out there in Idaho
or Salt Lake. You're Salt Lake.
In Utah.
In Utah. Yeah, that's right. She's running for office.
Yeah.
Yep. Trying to change because, you know, we have a medical marijuana law out here and it's crap. Like, we had a ballot initiative that was amazing and the legislature tore it up. And I think that's part of the motivation for wanting to run for office here.
So let's talk about some of the celebrities that got behind you, because I know Snoop Dogg. There's a ton of them, right? Can you give us a handful of the names and kind of what their involvement? You know,
KG?
Yeah, KG's, you know, he got behind us, and, you know, we had Danny Trejo, you know, just a ton of people. We even had former Governor Gary Johnson and a bunch of Republicans. And so, you know, we have a long list of these celebrities that have been supporting us and supporting our letters to the president and supporting our initiatives. And right now I'm working to get Ty Dolla $ign's brother out of jail, too. And I'm also working to get Loon, the former Bad Boy Records artist, out of jail. And I'm really close to having him out. I think he'll be out in the next month.
You're kidding me.
You know, I've spent a year working on Loon's case, and over a year, year and a half.
Keep us posted. Make sure you tell Blue so we can give the audience an update on that. That'd be dope.
Well, there it is, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Hold tight there, Weldon. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. We're doing the high five, but I actually messed that up. We're actually doing Making Waves still.
It is. This guy's so interesting. Love me some Weldon.
Weldon, he's from the Weldon Project, and he also has a brand called the Reform Cannabis. Is that correct?
Yeah, Reform Cannabis is the brand. We launched to help raise money for the commissary accounts of people who are still serving time for cannabis. Green is working to get them out, but we want to be able to support them to make them comfortable. And so we launched this brand back in March.
Reform Cannabis is putting in on the spread. I love it.
Right? You know, for sure.
He's like, what you putting in on that spread, player?
How come you know about a spread, Joe?
Oh, dog, I did 49 little days. You know what I mean? I didn't do 13 years, but I got 49 under my belt that I had to put on the spread. Can I get some hot water, please, in a little bag? Craig, thank God you don't know nothing about
it. Thank God.
Yeah. Oh. It's not a fun thing to know about, but if you know about it, you know about
it. You know about it, huh?
Yeah. I'm bragging. I'm just saying that's what happened in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not all of us is as perfect as you, Craig Wasserman.
And I just never got caught.
So, exactly. So Weldon, so how does that work out. I mean, you guys donate a portion of the proceeds, and then you guys pick certain people that you're working with that are incarcerated, and then donate money to their books. Like for Ty Dolla $ign's brother, for example. I mean, he might not need it because it's his brother, but things.
Yeah.
Like
that. So, so basically, you know, with the proceeds we get in, we collect profiles. So we're trying to, you know, get everybody in the federal prison system. But there's like 3,000 people, so it's going to be tough to get them all. And so we're going to pick a group and then rotate every month. And as the reform cannabis grows, so will our giving and so will our advocacy. We are definitely going to try to get them all.
How do people find you? Someone's listening going, my cousin's locked up and, you know, he only got hit with cannabis. And maybe, you know, you haven't seen this because Weldon Project can't see all of them. You know what I mean? But somebody wants to reach out to you and throw you somebody like, my cousin Pitt got popped and he needs some help. How can you help him out?
Yeah, they can go to our website and sign up, and that's one way to find us. And we're constantly looking for people. The Sentencing Commission, you know, keeps stats on how many people's in there, and so does the Bureau of Prisons. So sometimes we can find them that way, or they come to our attention from, you know, reaching out to us. And these days, so many people are sneaking cell phones in federal prison that we get calls sometimes from people in prison.
You're getting a phone number. Call them direct.
I get a Skype or a FaceTime, and I'm like, hello? And he's like, yo, what's up, Bo? Remember when we was back in the feds? I'm like, what are you doing? He got a cell phone in there.
We've had that come up on our face on our IG live before.
You're kidding me.
Yeah,
they're on IG in prison.
Yeah,
that is nuts. Hey, so what's the website though?
And they reach out directly to me.
Well then, what's the website for people to contact you guys?
Fraser.
They can reach us on the weldonproject.org or on Project Mission Green on Instagram.
Very nice. You know, let me ask you this. You know, do you guys also just take donations in general? Like, I mean, other than just, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, we accept donations, and we're trying to be self-sufficient where we have our own products that keep us alive ourselves. Because, you know, I get tired of doing the ask and the beg and the cannabis companies saying, oh, well, we don't have any money, and, you know, we know they got it, but sometimes it's tough. So we want to have our own products where we can support ourselves. But we do take donations, and there are a lot of companies out there that do like to support us, and they're not cheap. Yeah. You know, they really believe in the cause. So, yeah, we do both, all different kinds of fundraising.
Fantastic.
It's the Weldon Project. His brand is Reform Cannabis. Make sure you check it out and support this, as he's supporting a lot of people that were locked up only for cannabis. He did 13 years for having $900 worth of cannabis.
Wow.
That is unfreaking believable. And you're about to do 50 and got out surprisingly after 13. And now it's time to do the high five with you, Weldon. Question number one, how old were you the first time you smoked weed, and where'd you get it from?
I think I was 13 years old, and I got it from my sister. The Chronic just came out. Dr. Dre.
Of course.
So they were talking about it, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to try this. And, you know, it took off from there.
Older sister?
Brought out my creative side. Yeah, she was way older, half, you know, half sister. I knew she smoked and stuff. So me and my friend got on our bikes, and we rode our bikes like, you know, an hour and a half away to go and get a sack.
What is your favorite way to use cannabis?
Oh, flower. Just
doobie.
Good old flower. Question number three of the high five with Weldon from the Weldon Project. Weldon, craziest place you've ever used or smoked cannabis?
Outside the White House.
Ooh, sweet. That's how recent or how long ago?
February.
Nice.
Well, did you actually meet Donald Trump there?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to the White House a number of times to the Prison Reform Summit, so we met everyone there. Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, Mike Pence.
Did you smoke before or after you went in?
Or both?
Yeah, did you smoke before and going in smelling like weed, or did you?
No. It was after. I just wanted to do it because I seen Snoop do it, so I'm, fuck it, let me try it.
Yeah, that's ballsy. What's your go-to munchies after you get high?
Oh, after I get high, probably chips. I love chips, man.
Some kettle chips or like Doritos? Walk us down. You know I'm fat, so I need to hear all this.
Oh, yeah, Doritos, the spicy Doritos, yeah.
Spicy Doritos.
If you could smoke with anyone dead or alive, who would it be?
Probably Pac.
Tupac. Ooh,
Tupac, go ahead and rock you. Why Pac?
Very cool.
Why
that
Pac,
is
though?
A high five.
Why Tupac?
Yeah, why Tupac? Elaborate a little bit on that, Weldon. Why Tupac?
just because, you know, Tupac's my favorite, you know, person of all time. You know, I think, you know, he was a big inspiration for me and a lot of people. And I think, you know, the world sucks without him. So definitely. And Pac liked to smoke, too. So we already tapped out Snoop Dogg. So, you know, I would like to tap out Pac. We tapped out Snoop Dogg with some Lemon Drop
back
in, like, 2001.
Well, there it is, Weldon. We want to thank you for being on Cannabis Talk 101. And make sure you check out the Weldon Project. And, you know, this guy, support his cause. We really appreciate you, man. Thank you for making waves on Cannabis Talk 101, bud. We appreciate you, man.
Take care, brother.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, bud.
Right, peace bye. Out.
Take care.
How do you meet a great cat like this?
Oh, he's wonderful, right?
That's some great work.
Yeah, no, he's been representing, and you know, it's amazing because one of my buddies introduced me to him, and you know, we started to build a little bit of a relationship, and you know, he started bringing a couple of the dispensary owners through and talking about the projects, and you know, we said, well, we'll donate some time and we'll go produce some content with you and we'll help you guys establish some stuff. And then, you know, they had an event and it kind of conflicted with another event we had, and when he called me to book it, we were already at like CWCB Expo and we were completely contracted up, and we're like, look, that's not a good day for us, you know. And so we didn't do it. And then today, you know, randomly I was going to do an article on somebody else, and I was getting ready to do it, and as soon as I pulled up my you know, computer just to start working on it about like 11 o'clock this afternoon, I got a text message from with him on a thread, and they're like, hey, check out this new video we just did for the Weldon Project and everything else. And it's like, how you been? And we just start talking, and I'm like, you know what, like, I wanted to surprise you guys, you know, because I want...
That's a great story. Like I said, I seen it on national news, like a 2020 or something, Dateline. I seen it on it's network.
It's viral. I mean, the thing's going everywhere. And I when he hit me today, I thought, dude, I'm going to do it about what? And then I go, hey, can you pop on today? And then I came in and started, and he said, yeah, call me back in an hour. Let me check my time, because he was clearly going somewhere else. And I said, you know, let's see if we can work this out. I said, we've got the setup in the studio now to bring you in live and have you on the screens and still kind of work with you. And I wanted to surprise you guys. So I was gonna be like, this week making waves is, and then boom, and then bring him in. And I was trying to tell Pitt, and they're like, dude, you got the keyboard and everything right in front of you. You can make it happen. So I was like, okay. And then I thought about it. I go, you know what? We should just kind of talk about it and work it out instead of trying it out the first time.
It's still,
you know,
hard.
Live.
It's still going to be hard to surprise any of us at this point.
No, well, you know,
maybe not Craig, because Craig will walk in and still be lost.
What?
What happened?
You know what's funny, though? And I want your guys is, and I know it's just fire and you hate it, but to really sit back and think how many folks are in there just for cannabis, and I mean in there for prison, where this cat was
making millions
for
and millions
nine,
off it.
Dude, it just makes me freak out. For $900 worth of cannabis.
For 13 years.
Federal offense. He was given 50.
He served 55. 13 years.
That's what I'm saying. He was given 55, and he served...
But that's Salt Lake City for you, though, over there, right?
So you No. It's not Salt Lake City. It was... He got a federal beef. It's like his friends who had a dispensary in Modesto. It's back in 08, they were still raiding dispensaries, even though they were legal under California law at the federal level. It was not a defense. You couldn't use the state laws as a defense at the federal level. So people were still getting put in federal prisons due to marijuana in each state.
Yeah, and
marijuana only.
Well,
that's crazy.
You know, it's weird. Is one of my buddies is, you know, he's probably like, I don't know, 30 now, 35 probably actually now. He's about 35 years old, and he got caught with 20 pounds of cannabis, right? And I, you know, at the time, this is years ago when he got caught, and they, you know, all of a sudden I get a phone call, and he's like, hey, you know, I'm getting deported. And I'm like, what, dude? And like, I grew up with this kid, you know? I mean, we've been friends.
You didn't even know he's illegal.
I didn't even know he's illegal. And he's like, yeah, dude. He's like, I mean, I was born here, but, you know, they're deporting me.
Same thing with me.
And I'm like, dog, you're deporting you? What do you mean, like, they're deporting you? And he's like, I was like, you're an American citizen. You were born on our soil. He's like, nah, it doesn't work that way, you know? And I'm like, what?
Are you sure? I thought it did.
Yeah. No, he was like...
I'm not an immigration lawyer,
it is, okay, but if your parents are not and you break a federal law... Okay, then they can revoke it from you.
Oh shit!
I don't think so.
Okay, well, this happened to his boy.
I'm gonna have to find out, because that's That's how I've never heard of it.
Anecdotic evidence right here.
Yeah. Anecdotal.
Whatever. You know what I mean.
Todo.
It's a todo puro pero pero his friend.
Puro pedo. Ha 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 ha. No, so so anyways, so he's calling me and he's stressing out and blah blah blah. Maybe he was born in Honduras and I was wrong, and he was brought here as a baby, but he's been here his whole life. You know right. what I mean? I've known him since we were 7 and he was born, you know what I mean? Like he was running around, he's my buddy's little brother, and I've seen him grow up his whole life. So I mean, he's been here his whole life. And long story short is they were deporting him because he had 20 pounds. And I kept saying, dude, can I bail you out, and get you out? Because he's like, oh, they're denying my bail, this and that, over 20 pounds of weed. I mean, it's like, there's people that do way worse shit than that, and to just start deporting people. And this kid's been here his whole entire life, doesn't even know anybody back home. I mean, he's like, I got an aunt out there. I'm gonna go meet her. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, 35, oh my God.
Can I crash on your couch?
Yeah. So I went and visited him, dude, and I hung out with them, and he ended up getting bailed out, and then he fought the case for so long, they ended up not deporting him. But they made a huge stink out of it. I mean, he did like a year in jail. I mean, it was quite a bit of time. But he didn't do 55 years.
I would have given 55.
Over 900. I don't know how he ended up with that. Maybe he had a gun on him or something, too.
No, that's just the federal marijuana laws as opposed to your state.
But how did he get hit with the federal? Like, how did he get picked up by federal on the $900 bid? I mean, what?
It was a sting. They didn't care who they were stinging.
Oh, because they were stinging the
at a state level. Something happened in the state. Gotcha. Instead of the state police doing a sting or raiding the dispensary, they had the federal government. The DA was coming in, knocking down doors.
Gotcha. So when they come in, they hit you with a federal crime.
Correct.
And that's what you get in fed time.
Correct.
And if you get chopped with 55 years in fed time, guess what? You're doing 50 of it. There ain't no halftime.
Yeah, he did 13.
People are still in jail.
The laws changed while he was there. They got him out on different clauses. Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101, where Craig Wasserman sits next to me with the most bubble gas that he's ever guts. Had.
What is going on with you?
I got a lot. I got, you know what? I've got some of that jet fuel.
I said you can leave right now.
That stuff is the gas, man.
You don't want to leave.
I got the gas all day long.
What did the doctor say to you, though?
You know what the gas is?
No, I don't. I know Bezel.
The best fire you can smoke in this game.
You don't know what the gas is? Oh, yeah.
Why do you know what's reference? Joe's over here asking about doctors. We're talking about gas.
Well, because he's sitting here going to the doctors earlier. The guy's grabbing his stomach like he's got punched in the gut. And I'm worried about him.
I appreciate that. But you know what? There's no time for that. We got work. So let's push on, man.
No, he's talking about gas, like he's smoking gas.
Well, I hope you smoke gas and feel good. I got something to bring up to you guys, and I want your take on this. Now, a group of 16 experts, basically they're putting together like a Kaiser Permanente, right? So like a hospital-style place, is putting together a federal agency, and they're recommending that primary care doctors screen their patients for unhealthy drug use. Makes sense, right? I want to see if somebody has heroin in their system, maybe a little methamphetamine.
Sure.
But why are they considering putting cannabis as an unhealthy drug in there when tobacco and alcohol are not being accepted? It's a group of 16 experts managed by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
That's why.
Called the U.S. Yeah, exactly. So I can get into all the big details.
No, but
of
that's
who
it is. No, not the individuals, but who's putting it on?
Yes, that's it. Right. Well, there. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Yeah, they're never going to admit
something that I want to. I think might be contradictory because I do believe that they ask you every time you go see that. Do you drink and do you smoke?
Well, no, you know what's fucked up is...
I mean,
Prop 65 is?
If they're not
going
to use tobacco,
I've never asked them.
Do you know what Prop 65 in California is?
Explain a little more, please.
Prop 65 is the proposition that's the law that says you have to list everything that could kill you on a, the vapors at the gas station can be harmful. You're in the McDonald's and it says something about whatever vapors
can
kill
you. Drinking the soda from the thing
could
kill you too much or whatever.
So they added cannabis. Cannabis is on the list as it could fucking kill you.
Has it ever?
What did they
killed?
Say? What's the reason?
Smoking could be harmful to your health.
You know what? That's fair.
Well, smoking,
if it's a
anything could be harmful to your health. Not one other drug or chemical that's listed in Prop 65 can actually help you. Cannabis can help you. How it has to be on that.
But warning, too much but of it, they're saying the lungs.
No, they're not saying that. They're just they're just categorizing it in the bad chemical, you know, in the bad chemical batch.
Yeah, they're just adding you know, shit to the shame. So I think what it comes to, though, Craig, though, is that when you combust cannabis and the smoke, you know, the actual action of smoking, which is probably the most harmful way to ingest cannabis, is by straight smoking it. Is why they're doing it, and it's just safety. You know, I would say, I don't think it's the end of the world, but I certainly do think they should have more of a information on there about that.
Although, product. When you say what you just said, Craig, and more information, Blue, I'm actually switching and converting a little bit, because I'm thinking, going, if anybody smokes, that inflames their lungs, period. There's no question about what they're smoking. It inflames the lungs, period. Now, what I'm smoking may help some other things, but I'm still inflaming my lungs while I'm smoking something that's helping something else, and might even help my lungs later as well. The point to the moral is, if it inflames the lungs and could cause harm, which is more research that we need to prove this, I think they're going off of maybe that theory alone, because show me the death of the man, woman that died from smoking weed tobacco.
They should have that warning sign on
a
candy bar.
But I'm saying it's probably there.
Why don't they have it on a candy bar?
Sugar's probably the number one.
They don't have a warning sign, big old sugar, X thing going, this could be you.
Because if this creates diabetes, creates losing your limbs, creates dying.
I'm not on there.
That's a great point, Craig.
That's a valid point.
That's a great point.
McDonald's isn't on there.
You fat, obese bastard, you know, to keep eating like this.
Taco Bell, Del Taco, they're not on there.
I mean, you're right. I would actually question that. And I think,
donuts?
I think we should sue them for not being
today.
On there. I think we should do a class action lawsuit for not being on there.
Let's do it.
It's a good point, though, Blue. Can we do something like that to counter back? Like,
no.
Dude, why can't you sue them?
You can. You can do whatever you want.
But isn't it the U.S. Department who can get away with anything?
You can do whatever you want, yeah. Yeah, just like
ask them all for $100,000 and just go after it.
Well, the U.S. Department can get away with anything.
You know what? The way we do things, some lawyers would go, yeah, let's do it, and then you lose. We would say, you're probably going to lose, but if you want to do it, I'll take the money.
That's how you do it, right?
That's how we do it.
You wouldn't do pro bono.
You just take the money?
You wouldn't do pro bono for your Puerto Rican brother here?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because you're probably going to lose.
Why? I mean, it's sugar.
I don't know. As we talk about this, there's other things that you guys can be putting tags on. Why cannabis? Where's the proof? That's what I mean. Put the proof.
Where's the proof?
Do we?
Where's the meat?
Do we sue the state?
You look like that old lady from Wendy's.
I don't know who you'd sue. I really don't know. I don't know.
Wouldn't you sue the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services? Called the U.S. Provident Services Task Force.
No, in California, you'd sue the legislature.
It's like, who the fuck are these guys?
STFU, what?
Exactly. That's what it sounds like.
You know? Well, listen, I mean, you know, but I bet you if you put candy in cannabis, they're going to make you put all those tags on it. But if you make candy with, you know, sugar.
The candy now will kill you because it has cannabis and the sugar in it.
Right.
But they never said it when it had the sugar in there.
That
what
sugar
it could
will
do.
Kill you. Because sugar is one of the most addicting drugs in the world.
Oh,
people.
My God.
You know what
and
I mean?
I fight
look
it
around
every day.
You. Look around you. Look at all the people that
the
are
soda
overweight.
That you might be drinking right now.
Well, it can change, because I don't do that area of the law, so I really didn't know, but it just popped in my head that when they Prop 65 came out, caffeine was on the list that had to be disclosed.
Oh, I love me some caffeine.
And Starbucks, I mean, there was a huge backlash, and they ended up taking that off the list.
Wow, Craig, so we do have a lawsuit.
We do.
I think we should take it to the Supreme Court. Let me tell you, I'll tell you what, though.
This Supreme Court, I'm not so sure.
No, we're going to do it right here today. We're going to take a vote.
Okay, we're the court?
We're the court. The
make
jury.
Comments.
Peanuts
make
here.
Comments
he's
right here.
No, so the judge and the jury are the people out there, and they're going to call and leave a comment. Okay, give them that number, Joe.
It's real easy to call and leave a comment. The phone number is 800-420-1980. That's 800-420-1980. Leave a comment, and if you've watched any of the shows recently, you'll see how great Craig Wasserman looks once he got his hair dyed.
Oh, man.
And cut that damn goatee down a little bit.
A little bit?
I know. You look
great. How about
great.
Like
3 feet?
At least 3 feet.
Yeah, leave a comment on there.
He looked like ZZ Top. You know,
he looked like ZZ Top's gardener.
I had that for a while. I had that right here.
Totally. I got to throw something else by you guys. And, you know, as we talk about money and suing, a marijuana MSO, Justy Buys, they're called Justin, excuse me, Just She, not Justin. My eyes are going bad. MSO Just She, J-U-S-H-I, boys. They buy a facility in Pennsylvania for $37 million, a cannabis. So it just goes to show
Let's see how that works out.
Well, you know what? This is what I'm going to get to you, to the point, Craig. And I hear you. Let's see how it works out. But the point I want to make to people out there is what Blue's been preaching from Jump Street. Start your fucking business, folks, if you're thinking about doing it.
Do it.
This guy that started his business in Pennsylvania, guess what?
It worked out for him.
He just got bought for $37 million.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hate to be the old grumpy, you know. Let's
come with it.
The,
you always
look at the details, but
the devil's in the details.
How much is cash and how much is stock?
Well,
did
it
the
does.
Stock
I don't know
dick?
The yeah, funds he, and the oh, purchase. Let's see. Jesse secured. So that company secured $15.25 million in debt financial that was led by insiders and existing shareholders. The accusation involves a purchase of Pennsylvania Medical Solutions, a licensed medical marijuana grower processor out of Scranton, owned by.
So you don't know.
I don't know. I wish I would have known that answer, but I don't know. Bottom line, it's a 90,000 square foot location. Cultivation, you know, and my point to the story is, and why I'd like to go green with something like this is I've heard Blue preach this, teach this. We work with people, we encourage people. And as you, Craig, work with people to start businesses, but say it's going to cost a lot of money. And those who do, guess what? I don't think the business that this person sold costed him $37 million to create. I could be wrong.
No.
I could be wrong.
No.
But I don't think I am.
Absolutely.
So my point
probably
and moral,
to 10 maybe.
My point and moral to the story
maybe
is
not. Maybe 100 grand.
You
know,
no way.
No, you never.
You never know.
Not a facility like that.
90,000 square foot building is probably more than 100 grand, but it's in Pennsylvania.
But no, here's
you still got them. You still
real estate
there.
Here's the reality. The guy that actually started may not have started with zero. He might have thought
borrowed money like Trump.
He got involved in with the investor.
I'm not saying what. No, I'm just saying how much it cost. He might have had zero.
He found an architect. He found a grower. And he put the pieces to the puzzle.
Hey, what's wrong with using other people's money?
And by the way, I see it right here, Craig. Let me answer your question. Paying $16.3 million in cash, paying $3.8 million seller note, and 8% interest maturing in 4 years, assume a $17 million facility association with a long-term lease obligation. So that's what we're looking at right now.
And you know what?
Very good, Joe. Thank you for clearing that up.
No doubt. I try to give you the research that you're asking for.
You know what, Craig? Mark?
Ready.
And there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101. Remember this. If no one else loves you, we do. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.